to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
Bit of an odd week this week. I feel like there's a fire hose worth of like small stories that are not going to get talked about on the show this week, just because there's so many of them that are of like medium importance, I would say, but just not big enough to warrant mention here. And there's kind of a dearth of like big stories. Like a lot of what we're going to talk about is not necessarily news, but more discussion of vibes, I guess you could say.
Politics via vibes. Makes sense. As I send it to you earlier today, the theme for tonight's episode is Trump actually trying to win? I'm not so sure he is, or I think he's fucked, bro. Like, I think those are it's weird, and we'll talk about it. There's a number of stories that came out in the last like day or two that I was like up reading really late. I'm like, what the fuck is happening over there? And these are kind of like you're talking about. Like, there's a lot of little stories, and there is a couple of them that kind of fit into that theme that I'll talk about a little bit later. So yeah, it's a weird week. It's a very weird week. So let's jump right into it.
Speaking of the weirdest thing, literally something started this week that has never happened before in the history of this country.
Right. The opening statements today for the Trump criminal trial are underway. This is the hush money trial where allegedly, sprinkles of salt, allegedly Donald Trump paid off Stormy Daniels $130,000 as hush money for sleeping with her. And paying off Karen McDougal as well. But that's not the thing that he's on trial for. He's on trial for taking, like, basically trying to do a write-off on his campaign, like trying to expense banging a porn star, like, which is wild. Like, it's I don't care that you had sex with a porn star. That's weird in and of itself. I'm more disappointed in Stormy Daniels as a professional than I am in Donald Trump. It's not even the hush money, right? Because this is a thing that conservatives also often mischaracterizes the reason the trial is happening. Like, oh, it's why is it wrong that he wants to pay her off? Like, I mean, it's weird because you guys are like Christian. Like, it's weird that you're justifying it, but that's not the reason. The reason is hiding this money, or rather trying to write this money off and using it as a campaign expense to basically defraud the American public by using campaign dollars to lie to them, right? And to try to kill this story. That's why he's on trial for this. Not because of the hush money and not because he had sex with this woman. Like, it has nothing to do with that. Technically, yep. It has nothing to do with it.
Well, I mean, it's like, again, like the whole point, the way that the DA is framing the case is that, he did this because he wanted to hide it from American voters because he was afraid it was going to harm him in the 2016 election. Apparently, like the tone of the defense in the opening statements is like, paying hush money for things is actually democracy. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Again, the theme I put out there is Trump trying to win. I'm not so sure. Like, that's a weird defense. It's a weird defense.
You know, when you have a lame duck defendant, you got to ride to the dance with whatever you can. And, you got to devise some kind of a legal strategy that won't get you laughed out of the courtroom. And when just devise one that does and just hope that there's a Trump fan on the jury, I guess.
Yeah, that's a weird move. Paying hush money. Democracy.
Well, I mean, if he wasn't on his 85th lawyer at this point, like, he might have had someone that could mount a better defense for him, but because all of like the good lawyers don't want to get stiffed on the bill at the end of the day, like, this is what he's got, right? Like, unfortunately,
this is a lawyer after Alina Hava. Okay. Like, just keep that in mind. Yeah. Like she sucked. This person's a rung below her, right? Like, that's wild to me. So far, so good. It hasn't – I mean, again, these are the opening statements. We haven't really gotten to the juicy stuff yet. That'll probably come sometime this week.
Well, jury selection was interesting in and of itself because that was all last week, right? So, the jury selection was going on for – about a week.
Pretty rough.
And the way that it was conducted was interesting because they brought in like 96 people or something like that. And they needed to select 12 jurors and six alternates. And to kind of speed things along, the judge in the case just basically allowed people to excuse themselves without any interview or voir dire or anything like that if they felt that they could not be impartial. And that literally cut out like half of the people that they called in. They're just like, deuces, I'm out of here. And then the rest of it was like questioning the individual jurors. There was a interesting, and by interesting, I mean actually quite horrifying, moment where one of the jurors was seated and sworn in. And because of information that leaked from the press in the room that was covering the trial, not her name or, you know, anything specific, like tied to her ID, but like it mentioned that like, oh, she was a nurse and, you know, she like this or the other thing. And Jesse Waters on Fox ran with that in his nightly show and basically implied like, oh, like no way this person can be impartial. Like you got to get this person out of here. This or the other thing. And this woman came back to court and Donald Trump retweeted that, by the way, which is a violation of the gag order because he's harassing a juror. And the next day that woman came to court and asked to be excused because she says that her family and friends had figured out from the information that the press put out there that it was her that was sitting on the jury. And now she was afraid because of the amplification that it gave. So the judge excused her, and that was really scary, and basically told the media, like, stop fucking reporting on this stuff. Like, I know you can, but like kind of defeats the purpose of a sealed jury. If you guys are going to run out here with information that you could piece together to figure out, you know, who these people are.
Yeah.
And then in a more humorous, go ahead.
Like on a serious note, before you get into the lighter part of that, I think people and when I say people, I mean the media in this case, don't take that kind of shit seriously. Because we haven't had jurors on a trial be killed, right? Like on some high profile thing. Like there is a real potential for however this goes. Let's say he's found guilty. These 12 people and these six alternates, right? Or these 12 people really would be in danger. They go back to their lives and people start to piece together who they are. Like, hey, man, you've been kind of gone for a while. Like, what the fuck is going on? And they start to piece shit together. Or, God forbid, the news just starts reporting and, you know, news gets shit wrong a lot. And they just say, oh, this guy was on the jury, right? And it's like, I wasn't. And it's like, yes, you were. Like, that's exactly what someone on the jury would say, right? Type of thing. You put those people in real danger and they could get killed, right? Like, yeah. To me, I know some countries – I was trying to find a list of them. I know some countries will quite literally keep the identity of the jurors hidden from the defendant and the from the defendant, right? Like – and the defendant's lawyers, because quite literally you could just be like, I don't know, man. Like let's deal with these motherfuckers, like or threaten them or threaten their family. Like you better fucking – you better go my way. Or, you know, maybe your dad doesn't fucking make it home.
We see that in America, like during like mafia trials and stuff like that. Absolutely.
Right. Who the fuck wants to be on that trial? Right. Like there's a part of me that says, yeah, I'd love to be on that trial and see justice. One, I am not impartial. Like if I'm being completely honest, they're like, oh, could you be impartial? I'm having a hard time even lying now, Your Honor. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to get back. We've got 320 episodes of this show. Are you kidding me? Hell no. So like, can you imagine? I'm totally partial. Yeah. And they're like, on the last episode, you called him quote, a fucking moron. Like, that might've been something I said. Sorry.
I would have stayed for the next part, but you could finish your thought before we get to that. So,
right. So, yeah, I mean, but in all seriousness, they should figure out a way, like, you shouldn't be able, as the defendant, you should not be able to see who these people are. Like, you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, it should. And this well, is a special
and even,
case.
And even, he, even e- apparently, even, like the sealed, like, the names of the jurors are sealed from Trump. Like, his lawyers are not allowed to share that with him, which I find very interesting.
I don't think they should have the names either. It's irrelevant. Yeah. It's irrelevant to them. By the way, you shouldn't know any juror's name ever as a lawyer. Like, why do you need to know? Hey, Steve, what do you think? What the fuck? You're not calling on me. I'm not in class. Fuck you. I'm juror number three. That's it. That's all you need to know, right? Yeah, they should be in like Squid Game masks, as far as I'm concerned. Like, that's if I had my druthers, that's what it would be, just for their own safety.
But where it's funny is when they were questioning the jury, the potential jurors. Trump's team was trying to find like social media posts of them because, like, they're, you know, can you be fair and impartial? And so basically, a lot of these jurors were confronted with things that they had posted over the past 9 years or so. Some of them very hilariously. So Donald Trump basically had to hear these people shit talking him to his face all week long, which is very good.
That feels good. That feels good.
Yeah. One juror had posted a AI video where Trump appears to call himself dumb as fuck repeatedly and then insisted that he could be fair because I just reposted it. Like, come on. Like, I didn't post it myself. I just reposted it. Remember, reposting's not an endorsement. It's just sharing.
Yeah, I thought it was mean. So I just kept sending it out to my friends.
Yep. Another juror was presented with a post she made that said that Trump was a racist, sexist, and narcissist, which she was like, oh, that sounds bad. Mm-hmm. That I said that. Yeah, sorry. But what was funny is so like the both sides, the prosecution and the defense, have 10 what they call perfunctory challenges, mm-hmm. I believe, where they could challenge the strike jurors with no reasoning. They're just like, I don't like the way that guy fucking looks. Get him out. As long as you're not being like fucking racist or anything like that, like that's okay. And so apparently, Trump's team went through their 10 challenges like pretty quickly, and then got to the point where there were some like borderline people that they wouldn't have wanted on the jury. Like, they would have wanted to strike off, but the judge's like, well, you already used your fucking challenges, so. And there's no reason to think this person can't be impartial. So, okay. Right.
And I saw like Trump, you know, went on social Truth Social and was like, why is it that I don't have unlimited? They said, I don't have unlimited strikes on the jury. And people were like, yeah, why doesn't he? Because that's not what the law is, dude.
I can't believe that defendants aren't literally allowed to pick their own jury. What a terrible country we live in.
It's like, why can't I have unlimited? Because that's not what the law is for anyone.
How would that even look, by the way? Like, Trump would just be sitting there like, black, no. Mexican, no. Ugly, no. Black, woman, no. Like just,
woman. Yeah. Too tall. White man, too tall. No one can be taller than me. Like, yeah. Like, I mean, come on. It's a blue shirt. Too close to Democrat. Get out of here. Like, oh, this... cowboy hat, real shit kicker. I like him. And the guy's like, I'm a liberal from Texas. God damn it. Like, too late. So, yeah, it's like he doesn't even understand the basics of the law. Like, why can't I have unlimited strikes? I don't know, dude, because they don't want you to try to fuck the jury and just do it unlimited and then you never have a trial. Like, that's basically it, right? It's just ridiculous. Like,
also,
that seems crazy to me.
There's what I think there's like 900,000 people in Manhattan. I think that in the last election, 85,000 people in Manhattan voted for Donald Trump. Like, what kind of jury do you think you're getting on this trial, my dude? Like, try as you might, you don't get to just pick 12 people from the 85,000 people that voted for you.
Yeah,
in the last presidential election.
Right. And by the way, like, before the trial started, you know, they put in a motion to change venues. Like,
change venues, yeah.
Why? The crime happened in New York. Like, it's not even a like nebulous federal crime. It happened. You lived in New York when you signed.
Well, the purpose of the change of venues is because they're claiming that Donald Trump can't get a fair trial in Manhattan.
That's not my problem.
Don't commit crimes in Manhattan. Sorry.
Right. Like, to quote a great man, stop doing crimes, asshole. Like, sorry, dude. Like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? But yeah. Again, the other part of my suggested theme for this episode, I think he's fucked, bro. Like, I'm serious. Like, there's a lot going on, and it all seems to fall under those two categories. Is he actually trying to win the election? And there's a lot of thoughts on maybe not. Again, I'll talk about that. And the other side is, like, I think he's fucked. Like, so even if he was, he's fucked in so many ways. Like, it's just unbelievable.
That's an interesting question. So actually, I'll wait to ask that question until we get later on in the show. And I'll pose it now, and you can answer it later. If not for these trials hanging over his head, would Donald Trump actually want to be president again? And just marinate on that. Just marinate on it.
No, and I will not. but here's the thing. No, but I'll give you a more detailed answer later on. So here's a weird thing. A man set himself on fire outside of the trial, apropos of nothing.
Well, not apropos of nothing. Apropos of I'm trying to protest Donald Trump being put on trial. No, not really, though, actually.
So when this first came out, everyone's like, oh, a Trump supporter, clearly. He's crazy. Like, that's the obvious thing. No, actually, this guy has been milling around New York and milling around the trial the last couple of days. No, he thinks that Trump and Biden are in it together to perform this fascist coup. Right. Like, that's what he believes. He got his information by doing more research into Peter Thiel, who he also thinks is a corrupt person. Look, he's correct about that. Peter Thiel is one of the most corrupt people in and around politics. But in an interview that day, he said his critical views of the American government were shaped by his research into Peter Thiel, the technology billionaire and political provocateur, who is a major campaign donor and into cryptocurrency. Just so you know, he is a major campaign donor for Republicans, since the New York Times didn't bother to put any more details there. Just nebulously put it out there. No, Peter Thiel is a hardcore right-wing lunatic. This guy's name is Max Azzarello. He was 37, which is really fucking sad.
Oh, did he actually pass away? I heard he was in critical condition.
No, he died. Yeah, he died Friday morning. He was in critical condition for a couple of hours. He threw a bunch of pamphlets up and poured an accelerant, I assume it was gasoline, all over himself or lighter fluid, and lit himself on fire. So –
yeah, I'm reading. I'm kind of, flipping through the story as we're talking. This does seem actually really sad. It looks like this guy had a lot of mental issues.
Not to trivialize his life or whatever, but just like your run of the mill kind of crazy person, right? Who gets caught up in all of these sort of political conspiracy theories, but not seemingly. He's a straight shooter, respected on both sides, right? Like, this guy was like, no, all of you are corrupt. He's not like, Democrats are evil and Republicans are good. No, he's like, it's all a fucking shit system and they're all trying to destroy us and everything else. He spent a number of he was arrested three times in 2023 on misdemeanor charges in Florida. He posted online in August that he had just spent 3 days in a psychiatric hospital. Later that month, while dining at a hotel in St. Augustine, Florida, he threw a glass of wine at a framed autograph of Bill Clinton. He showed up to the hotel again 2 days later, stripped to his underwear and shouted profanities at guests while blasting music from a speaker. 3 days later, police arrested him for defacing and breaking signs belonging to several businesses. He took a pest control sign from the yard of one business that had warned passerbyers to keep children and pets away for their safety. In comments to the police, he said, quote, the pest control company was there to exterminate children and dogs. Right? This guy is
needed help.
This guy is just not sane at all. So I know the easy jump to conclusion. And look, I thought about I did the same thing. I was just like, oh, this is like super crazy fucking right wing shit. No, it's not. And it's not super crazy left-wing shit either. It's just a guy who needs help, just mental help. Now, what I will say, and I'll say this as an indictment of neither party, but the world in which we live in now. We have to take mental illness seriously, and we have to be deeply, deeply serious about the way we talk about politics, because there's so much disinformation and there's so much fucking bullshit on the internet. I'm not even talking. I'm going to make it, you know, politics aside, right? But just bullshit information on the internet that people who have a mental illness start reading, and all this conspiracy shit, it all gets thrown all together and it warps people's minds, especially when you talk about government, right? Because it's like there are conspiracies, right? And I don't mean it in the like we fake the moon landing type of shit. I mean people getting together to conspire to do crimes, right? Or to hurt people and stuff like that. Those are real conspiracies. And a lot of times people don't know the difference between that and the government is, you know, it's hiding the fact that the moon is made of cheese type of shit, right? So, well,
and we've already seen stuff like this in this day and age. I mean, there's the guy that was sending, you know, the pipe bombs to, you know, a variety of different left wing folks while Trump was president and stuff like that. So,
yeah, that guy's still in jail, I believe.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, he should be forever. So yeah, it's a sad story, actually. Once you get past the idea that this had anything to do with anyone in particular politically, it didn't. It was just, it's just like some general. I believe this because there's so much misinformation and garbage out there. Next up, Mike Johnson. Actually, hold on. Let's see. Mike Johnson steps up and gets foreign aid pass for Ukraine with the Democrats, thus teetering on the edge.
That's the thing. It might be
what is going to happen.
Might be a bit of a Fyrick victory for Mike Johnson. But look, and again, we don't need to fall all over ourselves praising Mike Johnson for doing the obviously correct thing.
The greatest Speaker of the House ever, Mike Johnson.
If by ever you mean in the last like 2 months, then yes, he is the greatest Speaker of the House in the last 2 months. So again, we don't need to fall over ourselves praising Mike Johnson for doing this, because again, this is the right thing to do. But I am glad to see he did not wither in the face of scrutiny from his own party, or should I say the fringes of his own party, to do the right thing.
Yeah, it's I have to say I'm impressed. I'm shocked that he was able to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way more interested to see what happens next. If I'm being
honest. Oh yeah, absolutely. Now it's time for Marjorie to see like, hey, were you just talking a lot of shit, or are you actually gonna do something about it?
So. Look, if you are on social media, especially like the Twitters and the TikToks, you need to start promoting the hashtag Marjorie Taylor Greene is a coward. And then hashtag motion to vacate. Just push her to do it. Come on. Don't be fucking scared. Right.
Well, here's a quote from him that he told reporters, quote, to put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. My son is going to begin in the Naval Academy this fall. This is a live fire exercise for me, as it is so many American families. This isn't a game. It's not a joke. Talking about Ukraine aid.
Yeah.
Being passed.
Look, he's not wrong, right? Apparently people categorize this as an impassioned speech. Sure, I guess. Here's what I do care about. We are sending money so that a country, a sovereign country, can defend its border and cannot be taken over by arguably our number one adversary, right? So this is good for us. Apparently Russia now is having to dig back into like 20 and 30 year old weaponry because they are literally running out of things. This is our opportunity to break Russia for decades. Mm-hmm. Like quite literally. So I don't see why we wouldn't do it. Again, it's a win-win for us. We get to help Ukraine, who is a sovereign country. And we get to hurt our enemy, and we don't have to put boots on the ground. It's an ideal situation. So look, I love it. I think it's smart. I am very, like we said, I'm very interested to see what happens next inside the Republican Party, because the full-on nut bars of the party are none too pleased about this. So
yep. Mike Johnson sold them out to the Democrats, according to Marjorie Taylor Greene and co. So we'll see what happens there. Also, part of this bill was funding for Israel, funding for Taiwan, and the TikTok ban was also packaged in this.
Hey, you got to throw that in there
thing as well. So we'll see if the Senate takes up the bill as it is, or if they carve out some of the stuff that they don't necessarily want to vote on, because there wasn't a lot of I feel like there wasn't a lot of appetite in the Senate to vote on the TikTok ban when it was first proposed anyway. So
no, there wasn't. And look, I'll be honest with you, the TikTok ban, look, I am not of the mindset that I think a lot of people are, which is the government is completely lying to you and there is no issues with TikTok. I don't believe that, right? I also am not of the mindset of TikTok is the worst thing that's ever happened. And like,
yeah, literally as you use the app, there is a Chinese person on the other side, literally like, looking for your phone camera.
Yes. Give me the data. Like, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think like with life and especially with politics, things are nuanced. Like,
dare you approach this situation with any level of nuance, Jay?
I know. Look,
fucking fool.
Yeah. I'm a sellout. When it's time to sell out, I will sell out to Big Nuance. That's who I'm here for.
Sell out to Big Nuance is a good show title.
Yeah, it is actually. I'm going to put that down. So when the government says like, "Hey, we have some like real security concerns," I don't think that that's complete bullshit. I also don't think that TikTok is a, like completely evil, fully run by the Chinese government type of shit, right? I think that there are certain shit that they've seen and they're like, we're not too pleased about it. But I also think the American government is very hypocritical, because it's like, hey, man, I don't like that these guys may have access to our data. That's bullshit. Hey, Mark Zuckerberg, would you like all of it? Right. Like, so we're not holding social media. Yeah,
more to come on privacy breaches later on in the show. So,
right. So like, I try to take a very nuanced approach. That all being said, I think banning TikTok or trying to force, ByteDance, trying to force them to sell, I think is like, if they want to sell, whatever, that's on them. But I think the United States trying to ban it and forcing that is one of the biggest political own goals of all time. Mm-hmm. You've got young people in your pocket. You do. You have young people in your pocket for this election. Why would you give them a reason to be fucking mad at you? Why? Yeah. It's stupid. Dude, if you're going to do it, and I'm not suggesting this, but if you're going to do it, get reelected first. Like, I don't understand
why you would make it a wider swath covering social media like entirely. Like don't just do a TikTok targeted bill. Like, target all social media.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, this
not
is your
not banning it. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be fine with that, but like,
I mean, also, yes.
Yeah. Ban it. It's oh no, please don't. Right. As that's literally a job I do professionally now. It's like, oh wait, don't do that. Don't do that. I need a paycheck. So like, I agree with you. Like, either wait till after the election, just from a political standpoint. Again, I don't actually advocate for that, but like, it just seems really stupid to do it now. Or you pull Facebook and Instagram and, all these other social media, LinkedIn, all of it. You pull all of them in and say, listen, these are the requirements. And if you don't meet those requirements, you will be banned, right? Like, that's what you do. And then you hold all of their feet to the fire. And then people go, oh, okay, they're not just trying to do this one app, because that just seems stupid to me, right? Again, a bit of a nuance there. All of that being said, I want to get back to this whole thing with Mike Johnson, right? Speaking of social media. So I'm going to play a clip for you. This is a clip from the Luke Beasley show. Luke Beasley is a Brad, as you refer to him, he's a serious version of the Good Liars, right? He goes,
yes.
He's like, he does these, he has a podcast, but he also does like man on the street, like shit to Republicans. And then just like, I'm going to say the crazy thing. And he's like, somehow he keeps a straight face. And for that, I applaud him because I could not. So and he's like
baby Jordan Kepler is how I describe him.
Yeah, you know what? I like that. I like that. baby face Jordan Klepper.
Yeah,
Klepper. So, but he's very good, and he has this clip, right? This is from Matt Gaetz's podcast, where Gaetz is talking to these other representatives who are in Congress. They're in the House. Yeah, right.
It's Anna Paulina Luna and a white man, which I know doesn't narrow it down for Republicans, but
probably named Jim. but Anna Paulina Luna is the one who does the speaking. Now, what she's referring to is this notion of the motion to vacate being called by Marjorie Taylor Greene. This is right wingers talking to other right wingers in front of other right wingers, giving you a whole lot of tea. So this is super fucking interesting. Here you go. Come on.
Here it is.
So I'm just going to tell them.
Yeah.
So I heard that if and when the motion to vacate is introduced, that there will be immediate resignations of a couple of more moderate members of Congress. And in the event that that happens, that ultimately means it does go to a Democrat speaker. And so we're in a predicament. So
a predicament?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. A predicament? Like, is that what we're calling it now?
Yeah, that's a charitable word to use in that for that specific circumstance for Republicans. I'd say catastrophe would be more apt.
Look, dude, we told you. Like, we told you. This is not speculation from outside the party. These are people inside the party. Republicans, moderate Republicans, hate the rest of this party so much at this point because they become so fucking extreme that they're willing to go, you know what? Go fuck yourselves. So there was, I don't know if you, I think I sent this to you. There was an op-ed on FoxNews.com. The headline was something to the effect, and I'm using the mean word I use was in the title. Marjorie Taylor Greene is an idiot and she's trying to destroy the Republican Party. It was basically that, right? Like, minus, like, you know, maybe they use is somewhere, right? Like, it was basically the same exact headline because of what she's trying to do, right? Remember, she called up this motion to vacate. She, like, kind of shelved it, like, oh, fucking, I got my yellow card
and
right
meanwhile,
here.
Meanwhile, I wish I asked you to grab the clip because apparently, not apparently, this did happen. Tony Gonzalez, not the former NFL tight end, but the representative in Congress named Tony Gonzalez, who is a Republican, went on CNN over the weekend and they asked him, like, does he think Johnson will survive a motion to vacate? And he said, yeah, he's like, but you got to remember, like, there's a lot of scumbags that I work with in my party, guys like Matt Gaetz, who's, sleeping with underage girls and basically like dragging like by name members of his caucus. Of people that other Republicans in the House calling them scumbags. And Tony Gonzalez is like, he's like a moderate Republican. Like, I think he voted for the second Trump impeachment. Like, I think he was one of the Republican votes that voted for that. So, like, he's like a normie dude. And he's like, fuck these guys. Like, I'm so fucking tired of dealing with this shit.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's where we are. The question is Marjorie Taylor Greene, does she have the balls? The cojones, if you will, to do it. Because if she does,
the metaphorical ball is in her court now. Like, she can either do it or look like a fucking wuss. Like that. Like and if she doesn't do it, I think that is a major blow to her cachet in this Republican Congress.
Yeah, because it also really hurts the Freedom Caucus, right? Because they are very much this group of people are like, we don't just fucking talk that shit. We do that shit, right? Like,
well, but again, they're fucked either way. They're fucked either way. They either look like we talked about last week. They either look like pussies, or they literally potentially hand the House to the Democrats before an election.
Yeah, I mean, look. Here's the thing. If I was a betting man, I am. Do I think Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to pull the trigger?
I think she has to.
I think she does. I think she has to. Yeah. And here's the wild shit. She pulls the trigger. Moderate Republicans. And look, they already know who they are. They know exactly how many of those motherfuckers they need to walk so Hakeem Jeffries can have the house, right? It's like, you going or me? Which one of us, right? Like, they're out, right? They immediately stand up. We're resigning. Go fuck yourself. End of today. I'm done, right? Right now. Then the Democrats save Mike Johnson to fuck over Marjorie Taylor Greene. And then I guess they wouldn't. I mean, there would be no point because they could actually get Hakeem at that point. They could turn their back. And
if the Republicans literally lose two more members,
that's it.
The Democrats have the majority in the chamber at that point.
Yeah, that's it. So it's a wrap. It's a wrap. Yeah. I think she kind of has to. I agree with you. I think she kind of
has to. She does have to. Because the alternative is you're someone who doesn't have the balls to follow through. Because she's been talking shit 4 weeks. If you do this, this is going to happen. Well, guess what? It's done now. Now what? Your turn.
Yeah, because you're going to immediately lose all of your power.
Mm-hmm.
In Congress, you will lose all of it, right? The fact that she has any power is fucking wild to me.
I know.
It's just brute strength, right? Like, she's just like, fucking come in here and tear shit up. And people are like, yeah, no, she did. But if you don't do this now, you might as well leave Congress because you'll have no power after that.
Yeah, and, go get a cushy Republican lobbying gig somewhere. So,
yeah. And by the way, if she doesn't do it, don't be surprised if the Republican Party is like, you know what? You don't get to sit on any committees. We're done with you. Like, don't be shocked by that. Like, yeah. I could totally see them just being like, get the fuck out of here. Just for even bringing that shit up and causing chaos, you're done. And then she's going to wish she fucking did call that motion to vacate.
Yeah, go sit on the back of the bench where you belong. So.
Yep, and do nothing. Just like your homegirl who is about to get her ass booted out of Congress too. Right? Yeah. And also, I could see Republicans really feeling the need to try to, like, get her the fuck out of there. Like, period. Like, you are too dangerous and too stupid. Like, we need to get you the fuck out of there. So I could see somebody trying to primary her as well. But, no, I think she kind of has to. I think she has to.
She does have to.
All right. When do you think that goes down? You think it's this week?
Again, I feel like it's got to be. Well, maybe she'll wait till the bill's actually signed. Maybe she waits till it's official and crosses her fingers that the Senate will bail her out. Spoiler alert: they won't. Like they passed an aid package months ago that has all the shit in it.
Right. So. Mr. President. Yeah. No, I think you know what, that's it. When the bill is signed, once it hits Biden's desk and it's signed, yeah, I can see that she's just like, fucking, like, let's go. Let the chips fall where they may. Yeah, the chips. A nice big old bowl of chips are going to fall into Hakeem Jeffries' lap, and he will sit there and eat them as he's the new speaker. But again, never forget what she said a couple weeks ago. You can't blame me for what is going on.
But we can. And
but
we
can. Right. But that was her attempt, and I talked about this a number of times, and you and I both talked about this. That is her attempt at getting in front of the narrative. But it ain't going to help you. Like, it's not going
to
help you.
Truly a really ham-fisted way to say, like the congressional version of guns don't kill people, people kill people.
Right.
Mike Johnson screwed himself. Yeah, Mike Johnson screwed himself by bringing it to the floor. Like, I should be to blame for this giant fucking sword that I'm hanging over his head.
Right. Mike Johnson screwed Mike Johnson.
Like, that's right.
Yeah, like, no, I don't think that's how that worked. So I think you're right. I could see her pulling like a modern rap beef, like, I'm just waiting for you guys to finish all of your shit, then I'll respond. Like, I was on tour, like, all right, just get to it. We'll see. Let's take a quick break and come right back. All right. All right. Now, let's get to some of my favorite fucking stories of
God. You don't even I forgot to put my favorite story on the docket.
It's not too late. It's not too late.
But boy, it relates to the story. So I'll talk about it as we're talking about this story.
Okay. All right. So Donald Trump is funneling campaign money into his cash-strapped businesses. Experts say it looks bad.
You think?
Okay, U.S. Today. I don't think that last sentence was fucking necessary, but like, I think it looks bad, guys. Donald Trump's main 2024 White House campaign fundraising operation sharply increased spending at the former president's properties in recent months, funneling money into his businesses at a time that when he is facing serious legal jeopardy. Trump's joint funding committee wrote three checks in February, one in March to his Mar-a-Lago club, totaling $411,000, another in March to Trump's Trump National Doral in Miami for $62,000, according to a report filed by the filed to the FEC. So they are suffering in so many ways. They are suffering by pulling money at the RNC, pulling money and throwing that all to his legal bills. We didn't even fucking talk about the other story. I didn't put it on the docket. They're demanding 5% of the down ballot races if they use his name or likeness in their fundraising campaign.
That is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. Most people running for president love being tied to down ballot races because essentially it's a symbiotic relationship, because they're riding your coattails and you're helping pull people along, and at the same time they might be energizing people to vote for you.
Correct.
Who might not normally vote for you. Like so it works both ways. It helps both people in that instance generally. But Trump's like, yeah, you're using me. Give me a cut. Give me a fee.
Yeah, no. Trump is more. It's more of a, instead of a symbiotic relationship,
It's a branding deal. It's a branding deal.
I mean, it really is. I was gonna go with succubus, but that also works. That story is insane. So you're taking money that potentially could be from the RNC donations, filtered down to the down ballot races, which is how it always works, right? DNC does the same thing. You're eliminating that by taking all that money, or next to all of that, pretty much all that money, and sending that to his legal fees. Then you're asking the people in the down ballot races who are already suffering because they don't have nearly the amount of money that they would normally have to then kick up 5% at a minimum. Because it, like the letter was like, if you want to pay more to the king will
we do not simply cap tithes at 5% of your campaign revenue. Like no, we'll happily accept more. It's so very funny to me, and again, it just goes to underline the point and show you he doesn't give a shit about governing. He doesn't give a shit about advancing Republican causes, because if you were the president, you would want as many Republicans in Congress. You would want as many Republicans controlling state legislatures, controlling governorships across the country to help implement your agenda. If you gave a shit about the governing apparatus of your party, the dude just wants to be president so he can make his criminal cases go away.
That's it.
Some of them, because he can't. He can't make all of them go away.
Right.
But he can make some of them go away.
And look, that's the point. And that's why I said the theme of the show is like, does he even want to win? Like, truly want to win? No. He just is trying to cover his ass. Here's an interesting story. Right. This is not on the doc, but here's an interesting story that ties to this. Brad, how many people would you say? Let me phrase this in a better way. The Biden campaign has hired 300 people across, I believe it was six or seven swing states, right? These are like, and has opened, I think, 100 offices across across these swing states. Now it's still early, so they got 300 people, and then like those people will hire up more people, obviously. Local.
Yeah.
How many would you say? How many offices do you think the Trump team has opened in those same swing states?
So you said the Biden campaign has opened 100 offices in swing states,
and has hired 300 people.
And has hired 300 people. So basically, they're establishing their ground operation in these important states. So if I had to guess. And I know based on how you're framing this question that my guess is probably charitable towards Donald Trump.
You don't.
I'll say that they've opened 20 field offices and have hired, let's say, 75 people.
Okay, that's pretty good. Pretty good guess. Pretty good guess. The amount of offices, they don't know because they won't tell them. Okay? So zero then. So zero.
Probably zero. Yes.
How many people? You said 75?
Hmm. Yeah.
Interesting number, Brad. Why don't you go ahead and take the 7 out?
Five people. Cool.
Five people.
That's less than the number of states. That is correct.
Very good. Math is not hard. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
They've hired five people across the swing states. Not in one state. Across the swing states. They've hired five. Does he even want to win? My answer to that question is no, but caveat here, I think that he's just going to run the shittiest campaign possible. And some of it is he can't help it, right? He's just trying to get himself out of jail, like just funnel money. But I think he's running an unbelievably shitty campaign for one reason, really, over all of them. He's going to try to win it in the courts. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And I think
that's arguably the most damning indictment of this country is that he is going to run literally one of the worst campaigns of all time and still gather like 48% of the popular vote. Right.
Like, I think he's going to try to win it in the courts. And I think what argument they are going to use. No, you're like, mark it down. Be the greatest dude I told you of all time. I think they're going to look how big of a victory Joe Biden got. That's impossible. And mark it down, dude. To not have any offices open, or maybe you have two. I don't know, because you won't tell the media. Why is that a fucking secret, right? It's not a secret operation. Like, you do or you don't. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Right?
Can't the media find out themselves? Like,
right.
Like
just it's not go like around.
Like, they're public records.
Have you seen it? Have you seen anything? We've seen nothing. Okay, zero. Right? I think that idea of running such a shitty campaign and then arguing, how could he have possibly won by so many points? There must be something that's wrong with the system.
Mm-hmm.
Because to not open any campaign offices, to only have open or to only have hired five people is ridiculous. That, by the way, that's just the swing states. Do we know how many he's opened across the country? I have no idea. Who the fuck cares if it's in Montana? You don't need it. You only really need it in the places that are purple. That's where you need the office. That's why the report came out. Nobody gives a fuck. If Joe Biden's got 1,000 offices in Maryland, it's going to be blue anyway. No one cares.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that he's trying to win this in the straightforward way. I don't think so. I think that, one, he's broke. There was a story that came out that he has $68 million on hand for legal fees at the start of this trial in New York. What about the other trials? You have $68 million, that's it? Bro, you're about to be broke. Big broke.
Yeah, guess you better start selling buildings before Tish James gets to them in a couple months.
Yeah, that party is fucking over. Right, that's another thing. The bond still hasn't been paid. It's not paid.
Oh, no, they did agree several hours ago. They finally struck a deal with the attorney general to use the California company bond as long as they were staking cash. That was the agreement that had me.
Okay, so. Fine. Sure took a lot longer than 10 days.
It did.
Again, I don't understand why you're being nice. Like, I can understand, you know, oh, they forgot to fill out a document. You're like, all right, fucking send a document in. Like, I'm not that petty. But then it was like, well, we're not really sure if this company is like could really handle it. Blah, blah. Nope, done. You missed the deadline. Get the fuck out of here. You're done. Because you should have gone to a real surety company and not just had one of your fucking idiot, like, super fans pay for this. No, we're done here. Get out of here. So, yeah, look. Funding is slowing down. They're siphoning off funding from the down ballot races. They're in a world of trouble. They're in a world of
trouble. Well, and now like the speculation's been rampant because I guess the Veep stakes is starting to heat up a little bit, so they're trying to figure out who the fuck he's gonna pick. And by the way, have you heard some of the scenarios around this?
No, I have not.
So two of the people that he has that are earmarked according to the people covering the trial. One of them will make you laugh. One of them is House member Byron Donalds. That's not the person that'll make you laugh because, you know, again, Trump, it wouldn't surprise me if Trump to get a black eye, try to peel off some minority votes. I get it. Right. The other one is Marco Rubio.
Little Marco?
Little Marco. Because again, like you want to bring in the you want to bring in the Latino vote. Now, here's why it's funny, though. According to the law, if Marco Rubio ran for vice president, he would have to resign his Senate seat, first of all. That's number one. Very funny. Oh, and I think Byron Donalds would also have to leave.
You think Florida's not going to make another exception for him? Come on.
Well, but that's federal law. That's not state law. That's
federal law. Yeah, okay. You're right.
Here's the other thing. The president and the vice president on a ticket are not allowed to be from the same state. And apparently...
Oh, that's interesting.
And apparently, if it were Marco Rubio or Donalds, but hysterically if it were Marco Rubio, they would make Marco Rubio move to another state so that he could represent another state. Now that furrowed brow tells me, well, why wouldn't Trump just use New York or New Jersey as his residence, because he's like he has residences there, like he could easily claim that he's from the States. Because according to people inside the Trump campaign, Trump has said he does not want to deprive the citizens of Florida of having him as their elected representative as president. Also, I feel like the other issue is he doesn't want to pay the much higher state income taxes that come along with New York and New Jersey.
That's fucking funny.
That don't exist in Florida. So
that is very, very funny. Having Marco Rubio move is the most Trumpian fucking thing of all time. You get out. And he's like, okay, I will do it. Like, dude.
So you've only represented the state for fucking 15 years, but right, you like, have to move.
Well over
so
a you decade. Can be vice
president. And the even funnier thing is, Marco Rubio would do it to be vice president. Absolutely.
1,000%. 1,000%. Yeah, that's a wild move. Sure. All right. All right. So here is another, this is another interesting story. There's a story that came out, Biden has a 9-point lead over Trump, but that's not the important part. The question is why, right? With all of politics, you got to dig in. You can't just take the fucking headline. So Steve Kornacki, a man who I assume is made of espresso, he has so much fucking energy. He's the, you know, he's the numbers guy over at MSNBC and everybody loves Steve Kornacki. He's awesome. He did this clip and this is really, really funny. I wish I could cover the bottom of this clip for like the big reveal, because it's actually really fucking funny, but you'll see it right away. So, here's that clip.
Out here, the most engaged voters, those who voted in 2020, voted in the midterm elections, those folks are voting for Biden by 9 points. Where Trump's strength is, why he leads Biden, it's voters who don't typically turn out in many elections. Didn't vote in 20, didn't vote in 2022. They are with Trump by more than 20 points. And the warning sign for Trump in relying on this kind of voter is this. We are seeing the lowest level of interest since we started asking this question back in 2008. Are you very interested in the election? 64%. That's lower than any other time at this point where we have polled this before. So again, lower interest. Maybe those voters who are in the polls are saying they're for Trump. Are we sure they're going to actually vote in November? The Trump campaign better hope so.
We'll have to see.
Disaster, right? Like, this is actually super fucking fascinating to me. Because all
it
of
is
like,
because
Trump is leading. He's leading for people who don't vote.
Right. Like that's so that I'm this data is perplexing because. And again, like if you're just looking at 2022, OK, I get it. Like tons of people vote in presidential years that don't vote in midterms. OK. If you didn't vote for Donald Trump, if you didn't come out to vote in 2020. For Donald Trump. Why in God's name would you all of a sudden come out 4 years later when he's 4 years older, facing a shitload of legal trials, and is just generally more deranged in general?
Now, look, again, I wish they had the numbers from 2016, right? Because it would have been, it'd be interesting to see what that, like from 2016 mm-hmm. to 2022 coming into this year. Again, I need people to add context to things because facts without context are useless. To say that Trump is leading, he's leading, he's leading. Yes, with people who don't fucking vote, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like when they're talking about Trump leading, they're just talking about polling. And again, polling, as we've said before, we'll continue saying it because people try to use polls as predictive metrics. They're not predictive metrics. They are measures in time. They are snapshots of a particular group of people at a particular time with a particular base of knowledge. They're also trailing indicators because it takes a couple weeks for poll data to be, you know, tabulated and released. Right. So, like, you know, like, obviously, like, if you see a poll tomorrow, you're like, hey, here's how people feel about Donald Trump. This is baking in before his criminal trial started. So, like, that poll is not very useful, honestly. But yeah, so like that's what polls are. They're snapshots in time. So don't use them to predict things. Just understand that like you can measure trend lines in polling over time. You can look at polling and measure it to see how things are, right. You know, are trailing out.
Yeah, I found that shit funny. It's like 22 points. Oh my god. Oh, with people who don't actually vote. Okay, so why don't we just not have that up there because it's fucking useless. Like you said, if you didn't vote for him in 2020 when his back is against the wall and you want to keep the man in power, if you weren't willing to do it then against the same guy he's running against now, why would I believe that statistic means anything?
When, by the way, voting in most places in this country was literally never easier than it was in 2020.
Right. And look, What that tells me is it sort of solidifies my view on conservatives since 2016. There's a ton of people who, for the first time, and you can always tell anytime you have any political discourse with them, 2016 was the first time they paid attention to politics, right? And they were just like, oh, this guy is speaking my language. And that's the first time they got in. But there's a whole host of people who didn't vote in 2016, who are very vocal online, who are very vocal in 2020 about, you know, Joe Biden being evil and blah, 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 and Trump being great and Trump and all and the wall and all this other shit. But they don't have the wherewithal to actually get out and vote because they're actually, at the end of the day, they're not actually interested in changing anything. They're not. And I'm not talking about people who like can't vote because they have a criminal record. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about people who are eligible to vote, completely eligible to vote, and did not get up to go vote for Trump in this case. They don't actually give a shit. There is this idea of this like large vocal, you know, majority that's out there that's like, yeah, we're gonna fucking stick it to Joe Biden. They don't materialize. They don't. And what you're seeing over time is that for the first time in our lifetime, right, because we're young and virile, first time in our lifetime, we're seeing young people who say they're going to vote fucking do it. right? Like they are entering that time in their lives where we are becoming the big voting bloc. Like that's what's happening. We're look at us. We're the boomers now, right? Like that's what's happening. And so you've got a lot of people on the right who are just not interested. They're just not interested. And here's the thing. You shouldn't be surprised because they were never interested until 2016. That's it. And so that plus 22, look, like Steve Kornacki said, I wouldn't bank on that shit, bro. Like, that's not a good idea.
Well, and also, too, like, even though his number of raw votes increased in 2016 or 2020 compared to 2016, there are a lot of people that voted for him in 2016 as, like, the guy come in and shake things up, you know what I mean? And then, like, they saw what that looked like, and they're like, oh, no, this was a terrible idea. And then there are some people that stuck around till 2020 that are like that. Even more people that are like, oh no, yeah, like voting for him is a terrible idea. And again, like I think you will see, you know, Steve Kornacki pulled up that this was the lowest interest in an election since 20, you know, in a long, long time. I think you will see less turnout this year than you did,
of course,
in 2020. And if these numbers are to be believed. That like the numbers don't lie. They spell disaster for you at sacrifice, Donald. Yeah. So
yikes. I don't even think he has a 33 1/3 chance of winning. Like but if you put RFK in there, and maybe it becomes a 66 2/3 chance. I don't know.
Yeah. You take RFK's 25% chance because he knows he doesn't have a chance of being Joe Biden.
Still one like, of the greatest. Look, if you don't know where that's from, do yourself a favor and look up Scott Steiner math. It's one of the greatest moments in wrestling, hands down. His math was.
Oh
correct.
My god,
his math was. That's the wrong. It was actually correct. Right before that clip that I played, Kornacki talks about RFK Jr. Right, I'm not going to play it because we'll discuss it kind of here. But apparently, people are shocked, Brett, shocked to know that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is taking points away from Donald Trump and not Joe Biden. What world are we living in that an anti-vaxxer psycho lunatic is taking points from the right wing and not a left wing candidate? It's hard to believe.
Joe Rogan is probably scratching his head right now, waiting for someone to come in and explain it to him so he can believe them wholesale without any scrutiny whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't need that. So apparently, Kennedy, if you did a ballot and expanded it to five named candidates, LOL, Biden, Trump, Kennedy, Jill Stein, and Cornel West, Kennedy would garner 13%.
Yeah, speaking of which, what are you doing, Cornel West? Like, stop messing around.
Knock it off. Look, Cornel West drives me crazy because Cornel West is a very, very smart man. He is. He's a brilliant man. I think he's there's a little bit of speed off that fastball, right? Like, ironically, we talk shit. You know, everybody loves to talk shit about Joe Biden. I'm like, Cornel West is also super fucking old. Like, and Jill Stein, she's never had a fastball, I would argue. So
also super fucking old. How old is Jill Stein? That's a great question. I'm going to Google that while you're talking here.
Yeah. Like, I mean, what are we talking about here? Right. And by the way, Kennedy, not a fucking spring chicken. I know that dude's jacked cause he uses steroids, but he's not young. He's like 70 something years old too.
Jill Stein is 73.
Oh, she's a
Cornel West. Cornel West is 70 compared.
Cornel West is 70? Ooh, he's really good for 70.
Technically, RFK Jr., the youngest person running in this fucking race right now.
Wow. That is insane. So Kennedy would pull 13% from the top two candidates, right? And people are shocked to know that that's mostly Republican voters.
By about a 2-to-1 ratio.
Yeah.
By the way.
Republican voters view Kennedy more favorably, 40% favorable, 15% negative, than Democratic voters who see him 16% favor, favorably and 53% negative. Yeah, dude, he's an anti-vaxxing fucking moron.
But Jay, and allow me to put my Republican hat on. I'm confused because he's a Kennedy. Like,
I know.
Like if he was black in his last name when Kennedy, he would get 100% of the Democratic vote. That's how I'm led to believe these things work, according to Republicans.
Right. And like this is the thing that drives me crazy, right? Is Republicans have such a bizarre view of what the Democratic Party actually is, right? They think that Democrats are like them. That if Democrats hear a buzzword, they will react positively, like as if like they're Pavlovian, right? Like they're a dog. It's like, hit the buzzer, burp, like, yeah, let's fucking do it. Give me the treat. But that's not how Democrats work. Now, I'm not saying all Democratic voters are fucking geniuses by any means. But what I will say is that Democrats are definitely more discerning and don't fall for easily like verifiable lies. Why would I vote for RFK Jr.? He doesn't agree with anything in the Democratic platform. Nothing. Or practically.
By the way, all you people that are real mad at Joe Biden over his Israel Gaza policy, RFK Jr., out of the three men, easily the most hawkish on Palestine. He's basically advocating for even more support for Israel to go in there and just wipe out the Palestinian people. Of course.
I mean, look, Kennedy is a joke. He's a joke candidate. A major person in his campaign got busted last week in a video. I mean, not busted. I mean, they were standing on a fucking stage, right? I think it was like at a donor event or something. And they're like, yeah, no, our whole goal is to pull enough points away from Joe Biden so Trump can win.
Well, and I'm surprised you didn't know this. If you believe RFK, and again, take 50-50, whether you believe it. According to him, the Trump campaign approached him as a potential VP pick. Because I guess they wanted to shore up all of the anti-Biden vote, and that would be good for Trump, because then he'd be like, look, like I'm working across the aisle. I'm working with a guy named fucking Kennedy. He's on my ticket, blah, 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 blah.
Right. His uncle is being brought back from the grave, like a secret plan. Like if he like the weird thing is if he picked RFK Jr., the QAnon people would go fucking crazy. Like they would go nuts.
Oh, they would.
They'd be like, it's a sign. It's not a sign.
It might be worth it only because there is a less than 0% chance that Trump would make a joke to Ted Cruz's face about Ted Cruz's dad killing RFK's uncle.
1,000%. That would happen. 1,000%. Hey, look, you remember him? Yeah. What happened to his uncle Ted? Yeah, where's your dad? Right? Like,
I don't know if I want to put you guys in the same room because there might be some lingering animosity over what happened back in Dallas.
He was like,
you know what I mean?
Like, what animosity? You guys work it out. Like, oh, Jesus. We all hate you. I think it's him picking him as VP would be wild. Like,
to be clear, like Kennedy, I think turned him down, and or this didn't actually happen. Both are completely plausible. So,
yeah, they are.
But
they are.
It would be very funny. I agree.
Yeah, it would definitely shore up this issue of him pulling 13% and most of that.
Speaking of VP candidates that have faded into obscurity, when was the last thing you saw or heard anything from Vivek Ramaswamy?
I saw a TikTok clip that someone made of him. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically like, he's never going to pick you as VP. It's like, you're right. Vivek, you're out of here. Oh, I'm told that the Republican Party is not racist. Oh, really? The brown guy? He was, lauded as the next coming, and then shuffled off.
Don't be surprised to see him come back in 4 years, rebranded as Victor Ramaswamy.
Ah, That's the thing, is they didn't know he was American.
Yeah, the old Americanized the first name trick. Of course. It's worked so well for many famous Republican Indian politicians.
Yes, Bobby Jindal. Nikki Haley. All right, Nikki. Although she's gone further than all of them, I guess. So I guess that's progress. Who are your thoughts on VP, by the way?
Oh, who do I think he'll actually pick? Let's see. So the scuttlebutt. Who is?
Elise Stefanik is being floated.
I could see that. I think that the scuttlebutt is he wants to get away from Republican governors who are really pressing the abortion issue, because he knows that that's a loser for him. So that would take like a Kristi Noem out of the running, that sort of thing.
Yo, did you hear what Kristi Noem said about abortion the other day?
I did.
She was like, no, for a national abortion ban, no exceptions for rape and incest. Like, look, this is in the paywall. Let me just say this. Bitch, are you insane? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yo, that's someone who's not trying to run for anything, apparently.
Bro, I was like, the Republican Party is at least smart enough to be like, well, you gotta put an exception for rape and incest. She's like, no.
Depends on what state you're in.
You want to be? You think you could be a VP?
Her words, the way that she worded it, is one tragedy should not beget another tragedy. That's what she said regarding not having an exception for rape and incest.
You know what's going to be a tragedy? Your fucking political career. That's what's going to be a fucking tragedy. You know, when she said, I was like, I could not believe. I clicked on the article. I was like, that headline. What is this, Newsweek? That headline is bullshit. It was like, no, she said that shit, like, for real.
Here's the thing about Elise Stefanik, though, and again, I'm saying this because I'm projecting Donald Trump's opinions onto her. She's not conventionally pretty enough to be his vice president.
Oh, damn. You don't think so?
No, Kristi Noem is. I'm saying Elise Stefanik is not. That's why I wouldn't say
Stefanik. No.
Yeah. No, Kristi Noem absolutely would. If he wanted to pick her, I don't know, man.
She gives me creep vibes, man. I don't like the, her eyes are too light. She looks like, she looks like a succubus. Like, it bothers me.
I don't know. I still keep going back to Tim Scott, man. Like I think he wants his own black guy to be there for him.
I need you to never say that sentence again. It's very positive.
Again, like, that's how he's seeing it.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. By the way, Kristi Noem is fucking jacked. She's got like fucking cap shoulders. What is going on over there? She's like, yeah, that's for me doing all the heavy lifting on these abortion laws.
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here.
Tim
Scott is no. Okay, that's my answer. it's just a flat. I can't because I'm gonna lose my mind. I can't deal with like 4 months of this where he's like, "Yes, sir, Mr. Trump." I can't.
four months. You better hope he has a win, or you got 4 years worth of it.
I like don't do that. don't you put that. Don't you put that on me. No. Just no. I think Elise Stefanik is. Not, and again, this is Trump's viewpoint, and I think you're right. She's not conventionally pretty enough. Bobert's out. She comes off.
Oh God, no.
But she's conventionally attractive. So like,
no, she is, but she doesn't have the chops. She doesn't have the sway.
Yeah, but I don't think he gives a fuck about that.
I think people around him would fucking again, like, the last thing anyone wants is a Sarah Palin situation. Okay.
Fair enough. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene ticks a lot of boxes, man. I'm not going to lie.
That's another Sarah Palin thing, man. Like, she would outshadow him, though.
She would outshadow him because she's crazy. You know, she said that we should use space lasers to take out folks in Gaza. I was like, wait, we're doing the space lasers thing again? Because someone asked you about that like 2 weeks ago, and you responded to them, quote, fuck off, which is actually pretty funny. But I'm like, so we're back to the laser?
I think that was just a knee-jerk response. And then when she walked away from the question, she's like, oh, yeah, like they do have the space lasers up there that they can use.
The juice. Yeah, Marjorie Taylor. Look, I mean, she ticks a lot of boxes, though. She does. She ticks a lot of boxes. she gets the fucking MAGA faithful revved up. She does. She does. She's a woman, and I think much like all Republicans, they think the way to beat Democrats is just to match the thing that they do. Black guy, woman, right? Now you could say minority woman. Do you need another minority woman? Indian woman. Indian and black. Well, we got one pretty close, but there's no way he can pick Nikki Haley. There's no way. Mm-mm. There's no Mm-mm. way.
Even though I think she would say yes.
1,000%.
Yeah.
I didn't think so for a while, but I think she would know. Because relevancy. I don't know. You think he picks a white guy?
Well, so apparently J.D. Vance is getting a lot of heater out there.
I could see that. Pick. Trump and the hillbilly allergy guy. Yeah, I could see it.
But again, I think doubling down on the worst parts of you is a bad strategy. Like one of the reasons that he was able to pull in, probably. But one of the reasons that he won in 2016 is because all the people that were a little nervous about him vote, you know, be like, well, Mike Pence is there. He'll stop anything really stupid from happening. Famous last words.
I mean, he did.
Technically, at the very end, he did. Yes.
They were correct. I mean, Republicans don't have the issue that Democrats have, right? Which is you need to have a diverse ticket, right? Like, people are clamoring for you to have a diverse ticket.
No, but I think they do need diversity in that Trump is so insane, they need to balance him out with a normie, like a normie politician.
Ted Cruz?
J.D. Vance is not a normie politician.
Ted Cruz?
Ted Cruz would be. I mean, as he's as normal as a Republican can be, I suppose.
I suppose.
Yeah.
He's a giant cockroach in a human suit. Like, let's get real.
honestly, you know who Trump would pick, even though I don't think he has any machinations on being vice president? He would pick like a Josh Hawley. Young guy, looks like a fucking TV president kind of thing.
You don't think Hawley would take it?
Oh, I think he would take it. I don't think that I haven't heard his name floated around at all. Like, he's not prominent enough.
It'll be interesting to see who he picks, right? Because he doesn't need anyone to pull the evangelical vote. He still has them pretty well pulled in, though he's losing people to Biden who are evangelicals. But he still is like the 9 black people that go in to vote Republican. He's still got the vast, vast majority. Yeah. You don't need to really change on that. Yeah, Kristi Noem is a possibility. I don't know. I feel like they're going to want to pick a woman or a minority just to try to match the idea of what's going on in the Democratic side. But at the same time, you know what? He might do a wild move. Just be like, you know what? Fuck it. One of my kids. Let's do this. I mean, does it sound – if you're running to basically destroy democracy and set up this perpetual way of you and your family staying in power, I don't think it's that crazy. I don't think it's that crazy.
Again, I've said this before. I'll say it again. It's very funny how the people that made House of Cards in the U.S. Were basically like making a show that's like, this is what Republicans think the Clintons did. And then the Trump presidency is basically like, this is my playbook that I'm going to follow.
Yeah. I could see it. Like, I could see a surprise of just like, boom, it's fucking Ivanka. That would, like, it would gin up so much support from the right wing. They'd be like, hell yeah, she sells purses. Woo, purses. All right, she's ready.
But ironically, it would further alienate people that wouldn't want to vote for him anyway. Because, again, you already have the bad thing of like, hey, like, this isn't a fucking kingdom. Like, we're not doing fucking this. And then also, like, she literally has no business being in this position whatsoever. the only position she's held in government is senior aide to the president.
And she shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have been in that position ever.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, of the like standard politicians, I really don't know. Again, Elise Stefanik. Like if you just she would be a decent VP.
Yeah, she would be a good. She'd probably be the best choice for him, just from an X's and O's standpoint. She has no problem going on TV to say just ridiculous things to support him. She's already done that.
Right.
But she can still be taken seriously.
Right. She's She's a serious quote unquote serious person. She's a normie Republican. Right. She's not a crazy one. Like she kind of is, but she can come off as a normie Republican. She's not interesting enough in her own right that she's going to suck attention away from Trump, right? Because that, to me, that's the biggest thing, is who is going to pull attention a la Sarah Palin, right? People were coming to see Sarah Palin. They didn't give a fuck about John McCain by the end, which is, I mean, amongst many other things, but that's part of the reason he lost, right? People were like, oh, right, McCain's running. I thought it was Sarah Palin for president, which is a terrifying thought. So she does tick – I think she actually ticks all the boxes for him. The question is he too shallow to be like, I don't want to fuck her, so why would I pick her, right? Like,
yes, he is 100% that shallow.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, good. Then that will be his downfall.
Well, but again, he's the appearance guy. Like this is the dude that always talks about like – I want the generals that look like they're from Central Casting, and like you, like these people have to like look the part. And again, like in his eyes, I guarantee you, she does not look like a vice president in his eyes.
She's not hot enough, and that's fucked up because that seems to be how he judges the women around him, right? I mean, like his daughter, but also like you think he picked Hope Hicks because she's good at steaming pants? No, it's because he thought she was hot. And they all look the same. They all look the same.
Yep.
So there's a reason that he picked Elena Haba. I mean, it's the most obvious thing in the world. It's like, yeah, that's Trump's type. It's clear. So doesn't matter his skill set, right? Like it just doesn't matter skill set.
Secondary.
Yeah. And look, I think – and not to be a total dick about it, I think he groomed his own daughter – for that position in corporate America. And I don't even mean like the weird sexual things, but I think that's what he did with her. Be breathy and get the big fake tits and all this other shit, because that's what corporate men will concentrate on while you're picking their pockets. Like she feels like a product of his, like of his own sexism, if that makes sense. Right. Like mm-hmm. he very much is. That's what she feels like. Cause she don't talk like that. Hey, my daddy. Like it's all this like breathy porn voice shit. And it's like, that's what conservative dudes get fucking jazzed up about. Like they like that shit. And it feels like she was just a product of that. And he was like, you need to do this, this, and this. And look, how do I know that? Not to be a dick. She used to look like him and she used to be fucking ugly. And they were like, cut your head off and put a new head on and then get out there. And suddenly she makes lots of money. This is a reality. So so we'll see. We'll see. All right. We're in the hour mark. This is an interesting story. A solar panel in every pot, Brad. Biden unveils $7 billion for rooftop solar in Earth Day message.
This week in Biden's actually doing shit that you need to pay attention to.
I want to read this opening paragraph or two, and then I want to tell you my observation about the article. Triangle, Virginia. President Joe Biden on Monday celebrated Earth Day by announcing a $7 billion in grants for residential solar projects that will power nearly a million low-income households. The announcement kicks off a week of activities aimed at touting the administration's record on climate change. Biden revealed the funding in a speech at Prince William Forest Park in Triangle, Virginia, where he also announced that applications are open to join American Climate Corps, a program to prepare young people for jobs in climate-related industries. This is some fucking dope shit. This is the type of shit I want to see from presidents. Hell yeah. Here's my observation. Go take a look at that picture. Right? The picture at the top of this article. You got AOC, Bernie, Joe Biden, Ed Markey, and Zenaya Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about what the Democratic Party looks like, I don't know that I could have picked a better fucking image, right? You got two young people, one's Latin, one's black, Ed Markey, old school fucking liberal. Nobody tells him where to sit. You know, like, he knows where he stands.
But
they do
tell him where to sit, but they don't tell him where to stand. Nobody tells him where to stand. Get it right, Jay.
Dude, one of the greatest ads of all time. Holy shit, this is amazing. And then Bernie, an old school liberal, right? And then you got Mr. 51% Joe Biden right now, right? But that's what the Democratic Party is, right? Like, it's not weird for those people to be together, right? Like, it's just not. And it's about giving people grants on solar panels versus, hey, I wonder if we can rip off the American public and hide that I give hush money payments to porn stars and shit like that, the Republican Party. Or, hey, no exceptions for rape or incest in a national abortion ban, Republican Party. This is the Democratic Party. Both parties are the same. They're the same? Okay.
By the way, and if you're not, you know, if you don't understand why this is cool, I saw another story today why, like, power companies in Florida, or not in Florida, in California, are kind of freaking out because solar panels are working so well in California that so many people's energy bills are literally negative. Like, they're putting more power back into the grid than they're using, and they don't know what to do with all the excess power. They're like, we have too much stored power.
Too much. I don't know, man. Send it down to fucking Texas.
Why don't they sell it to Texas? I'm sure they could fucking use it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like solar panels here. One, super inexpensive comparatively. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we're planning on putting them on the house that we're in, and you know, it's sunny. I don't know, 99.9% of the year here.
I can't like putting solar panels on my current house would kind of be a waste because like I don't have that much roof space to install them. Right. But like when we move, like I cannot wait to fucking get solar panels. Are you kidding me?
No. When I was there, I had solar panels on my house. Hell yeah, it was awesome. My bill in the summer was like $8. The fuck? Of course. This idea of giving a $7 billion or starting a $7 billion program to help solar panel or you know to get solar panels out there. When people talk about like the Biden administration is not doing anything for poor people. This is an example of using the hardest thinking part, to see that, they actually are.
Yeah, because the hardest part of getting solar panels is the upfront cost. Like that's the most difficult hurdle to overcome.
Right. And do you think that people in any state, by the way, but especially the sunnier states, you don't think they could benefit from having an energy cost that's dropped by 95%? Of course. So, again, there might not be anything that says help black people or help Latin people or help poor people specifically who live on the street. But you have to use systemic thinking here. Because this is for low-income households. They didn't say for fucking rich people, low-income households. Throw some solar panels up and let's get to work. That's awesome. This is great news. Help these people because they need it more than anybody else. So, again, using the government's money and using the government's might for good. What an idea.
Yep.
Not just bombing people into the fucking Stone Age. All right, next up. You got this one.
Yeah, so just a short story, but still notable. So apparently, and I keep saying apparently, this did happen. Congress worked into the night over the weekend to re-up FISA for another 2 years. So this is one of those weird situations where the neoliberal center of Congress is doing something and the people on the outside edges find themselves, you know, with the worst person, made a great point kind of shit. Right. If you don't know what FISA is a law that is part of the foreign, FISA is the act itself, but Section 702 specifically is what they renewed. And that's a law that allows U.S. intelligence agencies to gather digital communications of foreigners overseas without a warrant. Now, you may think, well, why is that a big deal? Well, who they're talking to doesn't matter. So, like, if they're talking to an American citizen, for example, where normally these agencies would need to gather a warrant to be able to see those communications, using FISA, they can kind of do an end around that process. Sure. To be able to potentially see the communications of American citizens. It's been a very controversial part of the FISA law since it was enacted, which was back in 2008. It's continued to get renewed. Every time this comes up, you see a big groundswell of people trying to knock it down, but it inevitably always passes. Yeah, because this is something the intelligence committees are always going to lobby heavily for, because according to the intelligence services in America, it's an incredibly useful tool to preventing things like terror attacks and things of that nature. So again, we don't know how useful it is, because they never, you know, they don't disclose their methods necessarily. We just have to kind of take their word for it, which, you know, don't necessarily do all the time. So
yeah, I'm skeptical at best.
Yep.
But look, I don't think FISA is a complete bullshit idea. Again, I've sold out to Big Nuance.
Sold out to Big Nuance. Yeah. We're back.
But I don't think, you know, just unlimited spying on American citizens is a great idea. I know. What a weird thought process. I know. All right. This Week in Stupid. I don't know what this story is, and so yeah. I'm very interested.
Speaking of RFK Jr., so again, we've talked before. RFK Jr. is a deeply unserious person. He's the worst kind of unserious person, though, because he takes himself seriously. He just says the most unserious things, but he believes them.
What the fuck is he talking about?
That's
not a real quote. Come on, man.
This did not this did not make the rounds, but I found it today. Quote, I'm going to put the entire U.S. budget on blockchain so that any American, every American, can look at every budget item in the entire budget anytime they want to, 24 hours a day. So basically, RFK wants to outsource the federal budget on the blockchain to make sure that all of us can be auditing the United States budget in real time, always.
Just stop, dude. Just okay. Again, a deeply, deeply, deeply unserious person. Okay. You know,
he has also said that he is going to back the U.S. dollar with Bitcoin if he's elected to the White
House. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? What does it mean? Someone ask a follow-up question. What does that even mean?
Bitcoin is a speculative currency, my bro. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
There's a reason your family doesn't like you, yo. Like, there's a reason. Yeah. Like, I've never been more disappointed in the woman from Curb Your Enthusiasm who's married to him. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, Cheryl Hines?
Yeah. Come on. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? That means you're crazy, by the way. You're crazy. you're gonna back the US dollar with something that is used just sporadically, right? Like, people just, I don't know, man, they just lost $1 trillion in fucking Bitcoin. Whatever. We'll see what happens next week.
Yeah, tomorrow I'll get it all back. It's a big deal.
Dude, that's insanity. That's insanity. And look, I'm not even against cryptocurrency. I am, however, pretty sure I'm against the U.S. budget being anywhere near the blockchain. Like, pretty sure I'm against that. But this idea that, oh my God, he's so stupid. We're going to have 300 million eyeballs on our budget. And if somebody is spending $16,000 for a toilet seat, everybody's going to know about it. That's not me just saying that. That's what he said. That's an actual quote from him. Nobody gives a fuck about a $16,000 toilet seat. And I get his point, right? Like maybe they're not really spending on toilet seat. Nobody cares about that. You know what people care about? If you want to make a real argument about the budget and everything else, you know what people really care about? Military spending. Why don't you ask the Pentagon to not black box that shit? You know what the U.S. government said a couple weeks ago? They lost the Pentagon lost $1 trillion. Did they really lose $1 trillion? No. It's all black boxed, right? Because what they don't want to tell you is, yeah, we use that to go kill people and build awesome fucking space weapons to, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene keeps telling everyone about it. This is our space laser program, right? Also, why don't you audit the military budget? That would actually be an argument people could be like, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Also, Americans don't want to micromanage federal budgets. Like, that's literally why we elect people to manage that shit. Because it's not like obviously when the odd story comes along where someone's spending $16,000 on a toilet seat, by the way, probably not a toilet seat, probably many toilet seats. But like, you know, we hear like Ryan Zinke's like spending $90,000 on office doors. Like, yeah, like we want to hear about that so we can get on that person specifically. But no one's going to fucking needle down that far in the U.S. budget. And again, you don't want them to, because you're going to have a lot of people. In this crazy world where this happens, it would never. You'd have a lot of people that don't know shit that would be looking at data that they have no understanding of, right, and be like, "What is this? What is this? What is this? What is this?" And it would be a fucking mess.
Yeah, you want every conspiracy theorist and nutball to just be screaming about things in the budget they don't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
No thanks. No thanks.
The Joe Roganization of the country. Yeah. If something like this were able to happen,
look what we found, guys. Well, what's the contact? I don't know. Why is the military buying toilet seats? Probably for good reason. But it would just be a bunch of stupid shit, and we don't need that. And again, you're just flooding the zone with shit, right? By just creating a bunch of stupid stories, like people dead, like, government block. Welcome to the government blockchain podcast, where every week we go through, 10 random things in the blockchain and complain about it, even though we don't understand the context. Well, I can't wait to not listen, right? So it's useless behavior. Again, if you want to make an argument about, auditing the Pentagon and auditing the military budget and sort of opening the door to what that is and seeing what it really is and sharing that with the public, it's not going to happen. But if you want to run on that, then run on that. That's a reasonable thing to run on. I'm going to throw it all in the block.
By the way, even if he wanted to do it, I don't think you could just do it through executive action. Pretty sure you'd have to get a law pass.
Yeah, you probably would. And if you got a little too close, maybe Ted Cruz's dad makes a visit. I'm just saying.
That's right. Got to watch out.
Sleeper cell. So fucking stupid. But yeah, this is really ridiculous.
Yeah. Look, if you know someone in your family or a friend that's talking about RFK Jr. planning to vote for him, just tell them to not. Be like, look, I think you should vote for Joe Biden. But if you really can't vote for Joe Biden, just don't vote for president. Just leave that one blank when you go fill out your ballot. Just saying.
Yeah, what a wild idea. Unless you're a Trump supporter, then be like, yeah, hell yeah, vote for Kennedy.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
You know what? You should vote twice. I hear you guys like doing that. So, yeah, it's just a wild scenario that just makes no sense. I'll put it in a blockchain. Dude, go to sleep. Just go to bed. Go to bed. You've been up too late, fucking idiot. All right, that is it for us. Any speculations before we get out of here?
You did not give your weekly DJT stock price update.
Oh, I did not. Let's see. It did a little bit better this week.
Oh, that's good. Better. I mean, anything's better than free fall, but,
I mean, yeah. I mean, not for me. I mean, I enjoy watching the football. Let's see. Over the last week, it has gained 8.47%. It is now $35. But it did have a bit of a dip. It had a couple of big dips just today. So we'll see.
You know what's gonna be funny? Like we talk about we talk about like you can't look at polling as real-time reactions. Mm-hmm. I think weirdly enough, you might be able to use the DJT stock as a real-time barometer of things that Donald Trump is doing.
Yeah.
If he picks a vice president and it's someone that the Trump fans aren't necessarily a big, they're not confident in, and then like the stock goes down, that'll be fucking fascinating.
Yeah, that would be nice. Like, we don't need polling. Just look at the stocks. Oh, is it in the toilet?
Just look at the stock.
Shit ain't going well, bro. Like, it's not. Now, incidentally, it dropped early morning right as the trial started today. It sort of went back and kind of evened out a little bit throughout the day. But yeah, it had a big drop off the second the market opened. So yeah, it's a better predictor than at this point going to like 537 or 538.com. Like, all that shit's useless.
Well, I mean, 538 in general. You know, Nate Silver, I think, is feeling himself a little too much these days.
Yeah, so. He really fell off a cliff, dude. Like, he really fell off. Like, all right, that's cool. You can just go away now.
Actually, I'd like to be a Twitter pundit and be the main character as often as possible. Like, that's not a great idea, actually. Yeah,
you know what? I think you're feeling yourself a little too much there. All right, that is it for us. You have no crazy speculations? I always like to throw those out.
No, I mean, like I said, I think the next big Trump news that comes will be when that stock alters. I'm going to be curious to see. Again, like, I find the trial very entertaining because it literally forces him out of circulation for 32 hours a week. And he gets very upset about it. And then he posts about it online. And then he has all this pent up nonsense energy that he has to get out at a rally over the weekend. So we always get fun nonsense quotes from him. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's just fucking doing the presidential reelect campaign thing and being very good at it. So,
yeah. Yeah. He's crushing Trump in every aspect of this campaign. He is. And it's not just because Trump is in the courtroom. It's because Trump is not literally – his team is not putting forth any effort.
Yes. Not. Well, again, he only hires the best people, Jay. I don't know why you're throwing shade at the best political team that money could buy.
But they don't have any money.
That's right.
I see what you did there, Brad. You go. Clever.
There you go.
All right. That's it for us. We will see you guys next time.
See ya.